Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our brand new teaching series entitled Tempted. We're so glad you're here today for our opening message, or if you're listening online, we want to welcome you today, and thank you for listening to the message. Please take your Bible and turn with me to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And today we're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 39, and as you're doing that, also in your program is a study guide of our message for today, and I'm going to ask you to take out that study guide, and if this is your first time hearing me speak, that's something that I use as a teaching tool to help you get more out of the message. And so you definitely want to dig in there and pull that out. And if you're listening online, and if you can follow along with the study guide as you're listening, that would be great for you to do, because it gives you a nice permanent record of what's being said today. You can walk away with a nice clear outline, gives you Bible verses that you can continue to ponder. There's some blanks to fill in just to keep you engaged in the message. And so please take advantage of that learning tool. Well, today I'm so excited about this new series, Tempted. I want to begin in the introduction, which kind of lays the foundation for this whole idea of tempted. Here I write, temptation can have the appearance of looking good. You take the first bite, but in a short time, it will turn around and bite you. We've all given into temptation only to find ourselves in pain. And today, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a single one of us that cannot relate to that little paragraph there. All of us know what it is to be tempted. And all of us know what it is to look, and it appears to be so wonderful and so nice. And we take the bite. We do it. We do it. But the result of that is a life of pain. Because the Bible says when you sow to your flesh, you reap corruption. And when we allow our flesh to take control and we allow temptation to take control, we end up corrupting our lives. Now in James chapter 1, this is kind of a foundational passage for this series. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." What a wonderful word. Circle that word, blessed. Blessed. Boy, that's a nice positive way to begin this passage that we're looking at right now. Blessed. Do you want the blessed life? Okay. Is that what you want to experience? Do you want to experience that here on earth? Do you want to experience the crown of life? One of the crowns that we can earn in heaven and give back to Jesus is called the crown of life. And that's a crown that's given to those who, it says, those who endure temptation. Unlike that, those who endure temptation. And this series is going to help you. It's going to help you on this earth to experience a blessed life. But also, I'm getting you ready for heaven, because I'm expecting every one of us to get that crown. Okay? I hope we all get it. Don't you want it? I want it. Okay, a few of us want it. Thank God for that. Amen. Okay? And if you don't want it, you got something messed up in your mind today. Amen? We should all want it. Let no one say when he's tempted, "I am tempted by God." God, you're the one who gave me these sexuality, and you're the one that gave me, you know, this passion. You're the one that put all this in me. It's your fault, God. Nope, not my fault, God says. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Okay, you're not being tempted by God Almighty. Here's our problem. Each of you is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. Circle the word desires. Now, it's important to understand the nature of temptation. And it's important to understand that it is not a sin to be tempted. A lot of you are feeling guilty about things you don't need to feel guilty about. And what you're feeling guilty about is the fact that you actually thought about the sin. You thought about committing fornication. You thought about committing adultery. You thought about this. You thought about that. And you're sitting here thinking, "Oh man, you know, this is horrible. You know, I've sinned." No, no. It's not a sin to have evil desires, okay? But what happens is when we give in to those desires, that's when it becomes sin. It says you have the desire, then you're enticed. Then when desire has conceived, in other words, you give birth to your desire, you act on your desire, listen, it gives birth to sin. That's when the sin happens. Martin Luther, when it comes to sex, Martin Luther said it better than I could ever say it. And he used the illustration of birds flying over your head, okay? He says it's not wrong when you allow birds to fly over your head, meaning you might have a sexual thought, okay? And he says, you know, that's something you can't do a whole lot about. But what he did say was it was wrong. It's wrong when you allow birds to put a nest in your head. When you allow birds to put a nest in your head. And it's one thing to have an evil thought, a sexual evil thought. That's not sin. But when you allow it to conceive in you and you allow yourself to ponder that and think about that and then even maybe act out on that, that's when you allow the sin, so to speak, to build a nest in your head. And that brings forth sin. The Bible says in verse 16, do not be deceived by beloved brethren. Don't be deceived. Don't take the bite, okay? Understand the pain that's on the other side of the bite. Don't be deceived. And so in this series, we're going to help you to be able to experience the fullness of James 1, 12 through 16. Now in this series, come and find hope and relief in dealing with these topics of temptation. Okay, it's all about hope, right? We want to leave here encouraged. We want to provide some relief for you. We want to show you, as the Bible says, there's a way out for temptation. We want to show you the way out. Now, we're going to be dealing with seven topics of temptation. Now, what's different about this series is you all crafted the topics. I didn't come up with the topics. You came up with some of the topics. You came up with all of the topics. As a corporate body, we came up with them all, okay? My Facebook friends contributed to this because we did a poll, didn't we? You all that have been here a while, know the last 30 days or so, 6 weeks or so, I've been doing a poll. I've been asking you to tell me your top temptation. And you told me, okay? I think I've got, I believe it's, I haven't counted about, but I think it's like 10 pages, single-spaced, okay? And what I did was took all those hundreds of responses and I started categorizing them, okay? Started breaking them down, looking for the top ones. So a lot is going into this series. And you need to realize that. Now, there were two that were so big that we're going to have to do a whole series just on those. You're just so whacked up and messed up in those areas, I'm going to have to do a whole independent series, okay? But here's the seven we're going to deal with one, now in just one installment, if you will, one message. Today's tempted by sex, next week relationships, then anger, and then the biggest shocker for me was shopping. I was not prepared for that. Substance abuse, food, and then pride. I believe pride is the root one of all, okay, by the way. They all can be linked back to pride. That's why I saved that for last, because when it's all over, it all comes down to pride. I want to have it my way, okay? That's really what it is. I want to have it my way. I want to do what I want to do, okay? I don't want to follow God's word. Now, there's a statement we're going to be saying over and over again in this series, and it's this statement. What's hidden in the dark is never good. What's hidden in the dark is never good. You see, most of these temptations we're dealing with right now are in the dark. They're in the dark. You know, we're dealing with them in our lives. They're, you know, we're trying to keep them private. We're trying to keep them undercover and things like that. But you know what? That's not good, is it? What's hidden in the dark is never good. And what we want to do is we want to bring these things out with the light of God's word. Okay, we want to bring these things out with the light of God's word. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to look at a biblical solution to these temptations. Because Psalm 119:11 says this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. Okay, that's what the Bible says. One of the solutions to dealing with temptation is to hide God's word in our hearts, to put God's word into our lives. Jesus modeled that for us in Matthew chapter 4. I mean, what greater model? Here's Jesus being tempted. And what did he do when he was tempted? Maybe you knew, no, maybe you don't know. Well, number one, Jesus could have said anything when he was tempted and it would have become the word of God. Did you know that? He could have said anything he wanted And guess what? We would have it today. But he intentionally chose not to, if you will, make up new scripture, okay? It's not a very good way of putting it, but it's close, okay? He chose to go back to scripture that was already written in the Old Testament. He chose to model for us every time he was tempted, he came back with a biblical response. He came back with the word of Almighty God. And we need to understand that example. And that's why we're going to take what's in darkness in so many of our lives, and we're going to bring it out into the light of God's word. And it's going to be up to you whether to choose to obey, right? Okay, there's no secret to this stuff. You're just going to have to decide, are you going to follow God or not? Are you going to obey God or not? That's going to have to be your choice. That's going to have to be your choice. You need to realize that. So keep that in mind as we walk through that. Now, with that said, let's talk about sexual temptation. And the biggest thing I want to begin with is this. Everybody struggles in this area. Everybody. Let's be totally clear. There is no one listening today who cannot relate to this message. Because every one of us from one degree to another struggle in this area. We all struggle in this way. That's why the Bible, there's so many total passages dealing with just this one topic. It's over and over again in the Bible. And you got to realize that. You got to realize that, hey, unmarried people struggle, right? People that aren't married struggled with this issue in their lives. But guess what? Married people struggle too. I'm not saying it's not a blessing to have a spouse and things like that, but I'm telling you, if you think getting married is going to solve all of your problem in this area, you are very much confused. For many people, it actually gets worse, not better. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm just not married, you know, that's my idea. If I ever got married, everything would be cool, you know. Again, it's a blessing to be married. Don't get me wrong, okay? But I'm telling you, it doesn't solve everything for you, okay? And you're very foolish to think that, okay? Married people here today are struggling, okay? They're struggling. Men are struggling. Of course we know men are struggling, right? But guess what? Women are struggling too, right? Women are, I thought it was kind of interesting. Yesterday I posted, going back to Facebook, I posted the video, and said I was speaking on sex today. And the first two responses were from women. And they said, my husband needs to hear that. You know, the first one said, my husband needs to hear that. I mean, right behind it, bam, okay? My husband needs to hear it. Here's my immediate thought, what? Don't women need to hear it? And I'm telling you, within 15 seconds, this woman from Baltimore, okay, who losing to live person, says, what about us women? We need to hear it too. Now, I was getting ready to post that, but I would have got yelled at, okay? Thank God a woman stepped up, put it up there, amen, okay? Come on, man, let's be real. Younger people struggle with this. Yes, they do. And certainly we could maybe say they struggle more, okay? And it's a difficult time in this world to be a young person growing up in this world. Sex has always been an issue. It's always been around. I mean, hey, listen, I talk about my neighbor, Mr. Adams. You ever heard me talk about Mr. and Mrs. Adams? I talk about with work in the last series. Cut their grass. I cut their, shovel their snow. Well, Mr. Adams was a drunk, okay? He was a flat-out drunk. And in his basement, around his basement, he had centerfold Playboy pictures just posted all the way around his basement. Childhood memory, okay, going on here, okay? You can laugh, childhood memory, okay? You know, that's the first time I ever got exposed to anything like that, okay? This is not an iPhone here, this is an S phone. Did you know that? Anytime you want to, you can have instant access to images, to everything you can think of right here, okay? And this is a struggle of everybody, but particularly young people, okay? Sexting, what is that? See, the things that have changed the most, number one, is availability, okay? It is so available. But the biggest thing is there's no shame. There's no shame. Young girls these days are willing to take a picture of themselves nude and just send it around boastfully and proudly. That's the kind of world young people are having to grow up in today. I mean, this past week, right here near our church here, West Springfield High School, okay, two guys, just think about this, 15 and 16 years old, their life will never be the same again, okay? The headline is three Fairfax County High School students arrested in child pornography case. Six female victims, okay? And the cases are also teenagers. That's so sad. We don't know the details because they're minors, but you can read between the lines and kind of figure out probably what some of the details might be in that situation. It's a tough time. But you know what? Older people struggle too. If you think getting older just takes care of everything, you just haven't gotten old, okay? Okay, I mean, the Bible says the eyes of a man are never satisfied. It didn't say the eyes of a young man are never satisfied. It says the eyes of a man, okay, are never satisfied. I don't care if you're 18 or you're 80, okay, the brain still works. I don't know if you know that or not, okay? If you think just getting old is going to take care of you, you are crazy, okay? You are out of your mind, okay? Older people deal with this. Pastors deal with this. Pastors looking at porn. Pastors committing sexual sin outside of marriage. Now, always when you hear that stuff, keep it in perspective. Yeah, I mean, I think when a pastor does that, it is big news. Okay, and I'm not totally down on that. But you got to realize there are thousands and tens of thousands godly pastors who live pure, godly lives. And every once in a while, when you hear one of these horror stories of a pastor falling to sexual sin, okay, which shocks us all, okay, and it is shocking. Please balance that out. That know that 99.9% of pastors live pure and live godly lives, okay? And don't ever let that taint your view of pastors, okay? And what's going on there. People that go to church struggle. We see that right here, don't we? People that don't go. What am I? You say, well, you seem like you just keep going. Well, the reason I keep going is we're all in this thing together, okay? We all have to work on this temptation. So with that in mind, let's look at Genesis 39. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing up front. We're just going to kind of walk through it as we go. But as we look at this day, I want you to think about that every one of us have a story when it comes to sex. Every one of us have a story. And I want you to think about your story. What kind of story do you want to have? Today we're going to look at the story of a man named Joseph. You're hearing some of my story, and I'm going to tell you some more of my story, okay? You're going to hear from my friend Mark that's here today. He's going to tell you some of his story. Pastor Gary's going to come and share a little bit about his story. But you got a story too. We all got a story. And we got to figure out what we want it to look like. Do we want a story of victory, or do we want a story of defeat? Do we want a story of sin, or do we want a story of sanctification or holiness? What kind of story do we want in our lives? I want you to think about that. Young people, I want you to realize that one day you're going to have to tell your story to your kids. You know, for you, you might think that is like so far out. It's millions of years away in your mind. Because I was once your age. But you know what? It's not millions of years away. It's going to be here before you know it. And your kids are going to ask you. And you're going to need to talk about it, okay? And yes, God forgives, and if your story is not too good, that's okay in the sense it's your story. But you know what? One day you're going to have to tell them your story. You need to be thinking about what kind of story you want to tell them, okay? What kind of story do you want to communicate with them? Because you are indeed going to have to tell your story. Well, Joseph's story is recorded right here in the Word of God. Now, as I said, I struggled with what passage to use because there's so many wonderful passages. And the reason I'm going to use this passage, I mean, I'm going to just tell you right up front why I'm using this example. Number one, it's a guy. I just want to give this thing, you know, kind of a spin for us fellas, okay, us guys. And he was a young guy and he was a good-looking guy. That's what the Bible tells us. But he lived a life of victory when it came to sexuality, okay? So I think that's good. Good role model for us. Guys, good man got here. Okay. Number two, I like it because it's so clear. I mean, this woman comes at him and says, let's have sex. He says no, and she comes back again and actually grabs him and says, I want to have sex with you. Now, I don't know about you, that's pretty clear. Okay? That's pretty upfront. Number three, I like it because it happens in the workplace, or for you all that are students, the school. You know, almost every adulterous relationship begins in the workplace. Joseph's at work when all this stuff happens. And we need to hear that. We need to know that because we're going to deal with that. We'll say more about that later, okay? So pay close attention. The story begins with this, page two. What to do when you're tempted by sex. The story begins with this. Remember the presence of God. Joseph's story begins with the presence of Almighty God. He has quite a story, doesn't he? If you know much about Joseph before this, Joseph's gone through a lot of pain in his life. He's had a painful story. A story of where his own brothers betrayed him. They became jealous of him, and we're going to talk about relationships next week, and relationships are messy, and Joseph went through some messiness with his relationships, and his own brothers betrayed him, sold him into slavery. He ended up in a pit, but then God worked miraculously to put him in a palace, okay? And we find him in a palace in Genesis chapter 39, And it was no doubt God was working in his life. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites were the ones that purchased him into slavery. And they brought him down there, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. He became, it says, a prosperous man. And the Bible tells us how that God prospered his hand, verse number 3. And he became, verse number 4, he actually became the overseer of Potiphar's house. I mean, he experienced success in his career. He experienced success in his work. And God was blessing him. And God was doing great and mighty things through his life. And I think one of the things that helped Joseph to understand when he came to living pure, was that God was with him. God was with him. You see, you got to remember the presence of God. One of the things that's going to help you to live a pure life sexually is to realize Hebrews 4:13, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. See, we think it's a secret. We think, well, you know, nobody knows. But listen, that's not true. God knows. God Almighty knows. And yes, you can trick your spouse, and you can trick your parents, and you can hide things, and you can do things. But the point is, you got to realize this. It's all open to the eyes of Him, capital H, God, to whom we must give account. To whom we must give account. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is so vivid. Three questions. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Question 1. Question 2. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Question 3. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? What's that talking about? It's talking about, listen, when you come to Christ, you're part of what's called the body of Christ, right? We say the body of Christ. And what that says, let me just break that down for you real simple. You hop in bed with somebody, okay? Jesus is right there with you, okay? You're taking Jesus in the bed with you, okay? He's coming right there in the midst of it, okay? He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what's happening in your life. And you need to understand that. And you need to realize, you know, when you come together, the two become one flesh, you know? That's what the Bible says, Genesis 2. We'll look at that in a second. And therefore, verse 8 says, because of that, flee sexual immorality. Underline that. Because you know that, because you don't want to be bringing Jesus in bed with somebody that's not your spouse, right? This ought to motivate you to remember the presence of God to the point where you flee it. And we're going to see Joseph is going to run. Later on, he's going to run. And I think one of the things that helped him to run was he remembered the presence of God. Number two, recognize the plan of God. Recognize the plan of God. God's got a plan when it comes to sex. Here's the plan, okay? Listen, here's the plan. It's between a man and a woman who are a husband and a wife. That's the plan. Let me say it again. It's between a man and a woman who are a husband and a wife. That's the plan of God. And it's a good plan, okay? It's God's plan. He's a wise God, and he determined that to be the plan. And we got to realize that. He's got a plan. And the Bible says in Genesis 2, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. There's the blueprint right there, okay? That's the blueprint for sex. It's a man and a woman who are a husband and a wife. That's God's plan. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, because of that, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is undefiled. In other words, within marriage, sex is an awesome gift from God Almighty, you know? It's a wonderful gift from the Lord, the undefiled bed, okay? The sinless bed, the pure bed is what it's talking about there, okay? But if you cross the line, okay, you become a fornicator. Now, fornication, that's premarital, okay, sex. Okay, that's having sex with somebody you're not married, okay? I believe you also would include pornography under that. I believe that's where it fits, because the literal word for fornication is porneia, porno, okay? Porneia, that's the root of fornication, okay? And then adulterers, that's sex between people that outside of marriage, okay, extramarital sex. You got premarital sex, you got extramarital sex. And anything, okay, outside of that, here's what God says, God will judge. Underline that. God will judge. So any perversion of God's plan, okay, he says he will judge. So when we start saying that, you know, men and men can have sex, that doesn't fly with God, okay? Women and women. Okay, it's sin. Romans chapter 1, and the problem we got, ladies, let me tell you what we got. Here's our problem, ladies and gentlemen. Romans 1 makes it clear, okay? Here's what it says. The cultures get to a point of rejecting God, that God gives them over, it says, to a reprobate mind, okay? He gives them over, and it says, women burning towards women with lust, and men towards men, okay? And that's where we're at. And now we have an endorsement for this from the White House to the church house. God help us. God Almighty help us. God will judge. Do you think anything's going on in this country might have something to do with the judgment of God? I think they do, okay? I think they do. Now, let's be clear. Anything outside of the bounds, okay, you committed adultery, okay, is no better than homosexuality or lesbianism. Let's be very clear about that, okay? It's all equally wicked. It's all equally evil in the sight of God Almighty, okay? God will judge. You think he's going to bless your relationship with somebody when you're stepping outside of his bounds? How do you think that's going to go, okay? I mean, you go around commit adultery with somebody, then go marry them. Don't you see the problem there? They're committing adultery with you, okay? You want to go marry that crooked person, okay? I don't think so. It's kind of quiet in here right now. Let's move on, okay? You asked for it, baby. You put it on the list. I didn't put it on the list, okay? And it's coming out. We're bringing this, baby. It's in darkness. I'm bringing the light on out here. You wouldn't believe what I'm not going to say, okay? That one big issue is pornography. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? And all of us, this is another area of our story that we all have to struggle with. Right now, I'm going to ask my friend Mark to come. And I've got a friend here, Mark Lamb, who's going to come and share with us today. And his story, let's welcome Mark as he comes. And Mark, introduce your wife.
It's my wife, Kara.
Kara, welcome, Kara. Good to have her today. Okay. Now, what we're going to do today is different for Mark and I. Mark is a radio host, and he normally interviews me. I think he's done
twice.
Twice, okay. Twice, both for Bod for God and Get Off the Couch. And so The other day we did an interview for Get Off the Couch, and afterwards, because we've become friends, we started talking about some other things, and I don't even know how it came up, but he told me about his ministry now, helping men with pornography, and I asked him to come up, and he was kind enough to do that, so I appreciate that very, very much, Mark. So tell us, how did you get interested in this subject?
Well,
we know how you got interested, yeah. Okay?
Well, you were talking
about... Let me read my notes. How did you get concerned about it? Okay, we already know how you got interested.
Well, look, I'm going to rewind quite a few years because you shared your story about Mr. Adams. As a young boy, about 8 or 9, I went down in my brother's bedroom one morning before I was heading off to school, and I opened up his drawer, and it was packed full of Playboy and other magazines, and I didn't know. I had no clue. All I knew is that this was interesting, and I went back the next day and thanked the Lord, God's grace. I didn't have the presence of mind that young to put everything back right, and everything was gone. Mm-hmm. So that was God rescuing me at a very young age. But as most teenagers growing up, you know, there's always ways to find it. Everybody talks about it. Mm-hmm. And for me... my first marriage ended because of an internet affair, and my first wife would go to move away to be with the person that she met online. So after 25 or 23 and a half years, I found myself single again in my 40s. And when you're single and the opportunity's there, the internet's there, and all those kinds of things, I found myself viewing porn, and I had tried to help men in the past with this issue. So I knew that I just didn't want to. And Pastor Steve, I tell young men that I got to the edge where the heat was so hot, it was white hot. And I knew if I was drawn in any further, that it would become an addiction and potentially just destroy me. Yeah.
So,
and at that point...
So who's looking at this stuff?
Well, 90% of kids 8 to 16 either intentionally or... you know, just stumble into it. The biggest, you know, viewers of porn, consumers, are 12 to 17 years old. Now, just let me note here, too, these statistics are 2006, 2007, and that's before the advent of the smartphone or iPhone. It's got a lot worse since then. We don't have any data right now to tell us how bad. But all I know is that young people can go to forums online and figure out how to download it on their phones, and then there's other forums that teach them how to hide it on their phones so their parents can't find it. So the problem is just crazy. 1 out of 6 women struggle with porn. 18 to 34-year-olds visit a porn site at least once a month. And even as you stated earlier, people in the ministry struggle with it as well.
That's right. Okay, so when do people use the... do something about it, change?
Well, usually when they get caught, either by their spouse or their boss. Many times people go online for hours on end and figure out ways to get around firewalls at work, and it comes back to get them later. That's usually when you get caught, or you're just so enthralled in it that you just become weary and tired and know that you have to do something, and people reach out then as well.
Okay, so tell us, why do people do this? What's the attraction?
Well, you mentioned it in the last service. Jeremiah 17:9 clearly states that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And really only God can know it. And in a culture that is it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. If you have a phone, if you have a newspaper, any media outlet, there's the potential there for porn. And you don't even have to be a subscriber to HBO. If you have just simple cable and you're a teenager, you know that after 12 o'clock, the Girls Gone Wild 30-minute video is up there for their commercials or whatever. And it's just everywhere. So you don't have to look, you know, very long and hard. And it's just, you know, here again, it's on the phones, it's on the computers. And there's so many free sites out there that it's mind-boggling.
Okay. So what did you do, and what have you tried to help others do?
Well, when I came to the point in my life that I just didn't want this to become this huge issue, as I reached out to some people, I have some pastor friends, and I just said, you've got to hold my feet to the fire here. You've got to keep me accountable. Ask me the hard questions. I don't care. I do whatever it takes. And a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, we came up with this little card. It's a little tattered because we've been using it for a number of years. It's based on questions that Chuck Swindoll used to ask his elders and his elders would ask him, and we modified it slightly. And question number three is, have you processed any pornography or sexually explicit material this week? And then there's other questions. Have you been with a woman other than your wife in a compromising situation? And as we work through all these questions, Pastor, the last question is, and we always make sure we look each other in the eye like I'm doing you, the last question is, have you just lied to me? Because we want to be authentic and real, and that's the only way it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. That's good. All right, and so today you're trying to help others, and tell us about that.
Well, at the church I go to, Brentwood Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, where I live, and my wife and I live, I went in there, and one day I saw this card sitting in the men's room, and it said Samson Society, which was an outreach to men that struggle with porn. And then we had only been going there just a few months, and then I saw on the stall door, Proven Men series starting up. It was a 13-week intensive for sexual addictions. I thought, man, this church either struggles with porn, or the pastor and the leadership recognize that pornography is a really bad problem within the church. So I went to the leadership and said, look, you know, this is the area where I found some victory in my life for a number of years now, and I'd really like to get involved. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got involved, and as a result, I had mentioned in the last hour that I'm involved with Proven Men. It's the ministry that's the 13-week intensive. And also, Samson is no longer. We folded him into one ministry, and we have mentoring groups for men. And I'm in a group right now, 24 men, three-quarters of which are Liberty University students, and about half of those are studying for the ministry. And these are all men that struggle with pornography.
What about scriptures? Any Bible scriptures?
Well,
and feel free to mention ones.
You've mentioned a couple already. Interesting, one of the eternal security verses that we've all memorized, I guess, is "He will never leave me nor forsake me." All you have to do is go back a verse or two, and it's talking about sexual immorality. So it's just interesting that that's tied so closely together that God addresses that, and then he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." God knew that this would be a problem. So in that sense, to me, that says a lot about hope for all of us. You mentioned Corinthians 6 already, 1 Corinthians. You know, I memorized the verse that your body's been bought with a price, mm-hmm. you know. But if you go just a few verses before that, it's talking about sexual immorality again. And then in 1 Peter 2, talks about Christ being the chief cornerstone. And those verses about the priesthood. And then you go down a verse or two, and it's talking again about sexual immorality. So it's from Genesis all the way through the New Testament. Mm-hmm. God knew it was going to be a problem. He didn't hide it from us in the way of problems, and he gave us solutions in his word.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Okay. So that's Mark's story. Again, we all have a story, don't we? And we need to realize, again, Job 31:1, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Romans 6 challenges us, you know, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God, being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And that's exactly what Joseph does. His story in verse 6, and this is where it gets really hot and really steamy, doesn't it? Where this woman comes directly to Joseph and says to him, basically, let's have sex, okay? Let's have sex. Verse 6 says, Joseph was a handsome person, okay? Good-looking guy, came to pass after these things that his master's wife, his boss's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph. She said, lie with me, let's have sex. But he refused. He understood God had a plan. He knew that that was not God's plan. He knew that he was not married to this woman. He knew this woman wasn't his wife, and he refused to do it. I mean, how clear can you be there? I mean, what a situation. And again, it's in the workplace, okay? It's in the workplace. And we shouldn't be surprised that we struggle the most in the workplace because, you know, let's be real. That's where you're at your best, right? You look your best, don't you? I mean, just look at me. I look sharp, man. Look, I'm serious. Can everybody see? I mean, just. Now, when I go home, okay, I got two pair of shorts, okay, and I got three or four t-shirts laying on the floor, okay. Two of those have mustard on them, okay, whatever, you know. And honestly, I'll just throw whatever I have. Who knows? You know, I don't mix it up very often. My wife, she looks beautiful, but she's not too far ahead of me or whatever. I mean, you know, look how gorgeous she is right there. You know, I'm acting the best I can act today, just being as nice as I can be, okay? I can be a real grouch at home sometimes, okay, whatever. I mean, when you're at your work, you got common stresses. You're working on projects together. You know, you're into stuff, you're talking, you talk more probably sometimes the people you work with than people you at home, you know. It just makes sense. You got to be on your guard at work, okay? Some of you have to go into homes with you know, the opposite sex just to do your job. You got to be careful, okay? You got to be careful, okay? But that was Joseph's story. I asked Pastor Gary if he would share some of his story. Pastor Gary grew up a lot different than me. He got saved as an adult and from Long Island, and I just ask him to share whatever's on his heart, okay? So, Pastor, come and share with us today. Let's welcome him, okay?
Well, I wasn't really sure what I was going to talk about, but in this sense, I want to just give you a scripture. It's Proverbs 26:11. Proverbs 26:11, you can write it down. It says, "As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." And I couldn't help but to think that I was a dog. I mean, men are dogs, right? When they see a girl walking by, they go, whoop. They start barking. You ever see the neighborhood dog? Okay, it just crosses the street, grabs onto the other dog. Okay, no shame whatsoever. And, you know, as a dog returns to his own vomit, because that's what a dog does. And the thing was, is that that's how my life was. My life was a dog. And the thing is that it says, so a fool returns to his folly. A fool. Now, what's a fool? A fool is a person that knows the consequences but just doesn't care. That's a fool. They just don't care. You know what? I didn't care. Why? Because at a very young age, I was exposed to this stuff, exposed to sex. It just kept building and building and building. Seventh grade, you know, girls are developing. I had girls that say, "Hey, you want to see my rack or whatever?" And I'm like, "Yeah, cool." And I mean, I'm just speaking frank with you, okay? So if you get uncomfortable, tough, okay? And I was like, wow, those are real, you know, and just kind of engaging. And it all started from that point. Okay, I'm not trying to really be funny, but what I didn't understand is that it would start destroying me little by little. And, you know, guys, teenagers, you guys have phones. Okay, I didn't have cell phones. I had the real thing. Okay, I didn't have some fascinating, you know, little drawing anime thing turn me on. Okay, that wasn't it. It was the actual girl. And in my high school, it was more and more. It was girls just throwing themselves. And over a period of time, I mean, this stuff just kept building. And you know what? I didn't think about my story. I didn't think about my story at all. I mean, let's just look at Joseph for a minute, okay? Pastor will get more into this, but okay, let's just bring it into 2013, okay? So Joseph's brothers throw in a hole. He gets God's hands on him. We just looked at that. Delivers him. Puts him in a palace. Meets this guy Potiphar. Potiphar says, "Look, you can have everything. I trust you, everything." And that's Joseph's story. Now the girl comes and starts sexting him live. "Lay with me, lay with me, lay with me." And you know what? Let's back it up a little bit. He had a choice to either sleep with her or not. And at any given point in time, he's going to go and tell that story. And he's going to say, "Hey, kids, guess what? You know, my brothers turned against me, and this is how the story started. They threw me in a hole, and then I wound up in a palace. And then from there, Potiphar gave me everything, so I slept with his wife." Is that the story you want to tell? And many times in our life, we go through and we do actions when we're young, and we have no idea about what's going to come back full force around when our kids say, "Dad, tell me your story. What did you and mommy do?" Then it gets real quiet in the house because me and my wife have a story. Okay? And the reality is what we don't understand is that pornography, according to internet filters, 40 million people log onto porn sites a day. 40 million. Do you understand that sexually transmitted diseases, chlamydia is through the roof right now? Over 1,400,000 people have chlamydia. And many times we sit there and we think, hey, that's not going to happen to me. It's all cool. But the reality is that you're at risk. Everybody's at risk. And we don't think about that part of the story. So I wanted to just give you some quick little points here about what kind of helped me. Well, the first thing is that you have to, we have to fully accept responsibility. Fully accept responsibility. We have to choose not to do this stuff. We have to choose. We have to make a choice. I'm not going to do this. And you know what? When I got saved, the drugs were gone. The vulgar music was gone. All that stuff was gone. But you know what was with me? The sex. That's what was with me. The sex. I couldn't escape the girls because you know what? It got worse in the church. I got saved and born again. Next thing I know, I got all these single girls like, hey, let's hang out. And I realized that I was like, I thought you were a Christian and I'm struggling here. And then all of a sudden, give in. And you know what happens? God had to break me. Just like he did to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was so ready to go and go kill Christians. And Jesus stopped him in his tracks. But you know what happened to me? The Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks. Jesus himself said, what are you doing to me? I can't use you because you're filthy. You have got to come clean with this sin. And over time, it kept pressing and pressing. And then one day I broke over my own sin. And things do not change, ladies and gentlemen, until you get broken over your sin. You can't go to a small group. You can't attend church. You can't get a filter on your phone. Nothing's going to stop it unless you choose to. Unless you choose to say, God, I'm not going to sin against you, because that's the problem. We're sinning against God. And until that changes in our heart, God cannot use us. Second thing is that we have to renounce and repent our sexual perversion. You know, when you're young and you're looking at magazines and stuff, you don't think you're a pervert. But when you're 40 and 50 years old looking at magazines, you're a perv. Okay? But the reality is that you're a pervert when you were 15 too. Nobody didn't really notice it. It was covered up in society. And then next thing I did was I had to stop listening to the sexual lies through media, music, and the internet. You know, you can't even watch a pizza commercial without getting a thong ad or something right next to it. I mean, what does our society come to? We have to put up our own filters in our life. You know, and parents, you know, the truth is that parents don't want to dig deep enough to discover the real truth of what their kids are doing. They're in the van listening to WGTS, and their kid's in the back with the iPhone 5 that they just bought them looking at SEX on YouTube. That's the reality. So we have to stop listening to that stuff. And then lastly, we have to view the opposite sex, okay? We have to view the opposite sex as God's treasures and not sex tools. God's treasures and not sex tools, because Pastor Steve will get into that a little bit later. But the point I want to make is that you cannot stop sinning unless you become sick of your sin. Until you say, God, I'm sick of this, then he's going to move in. Because until then, you're just enjoying yourself.
All right, thank you. So we got Joseph's story going on. We got my story going on. We got Mark's story going on. We got Gary's story going on. What's your story? We all are telling a story. Joseph's story is our story. God's with us. Remember his presence. Number two, recognize the plan. We've all got the same plan to follow. You don't have a plan that's any different than the plan I got to follow. It's God's plan. Number three, rely on the power of God. Our story has got to include the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Boy, that's a great verse. Not of us. Not of us. The Bible says our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. And we have got to turn to the excellence of the power that's of God. Okay, we have to look to God. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph turns to God, and there's three things that God helped him control. Number one is words, word control. The Bible says that she came and invited him to have sex, and he refused, and then he said, see, this is a very defining moment for Joseph. He could have said, well, let's, you know, let's not do this, but we'll talk about this, or we'll talk about that, or whatever, okay? We got to understand, you know, it begins with a conversation, doesn't it? Okay? I guess it's possible, but you usually talk to people before you have sex with them, okay? And you draw them in, because untamed words often lead to untamed actions. Proverbs 5, particularly parents, is such an important passage. I almost use this as my text. Because what's good about that passage is it's a father talking to his son about sex. Parents, you're uncomfortable talking about it? Hey, just use Proverbs 5. Just walk through it. This is a dad talking to his son. And it's really balanced. The first half of it says avoid sex outside of marriage. The second half says enjoy sex within marriage. Nice balance, okay? Because sex is good. It's a gift from God Almighty, okay? And it's a very balanced passage of Scripture. But it begins when this dad's talking to his son. It's interesting. He starts out with conversation. He says, you got to listen to my wisdom, he says. Listen to my understanding. If you want to preserve discretion, you want to live a discreet, godly life, your lips need to keep knowledge. Your lips. It starts with your lips. And listen, you're going to run around some women, okay? They're immoral women. They're immoral. Okay, this Potiphar's wife was an immoral woman. She spoke to him. She says, let's have sex. And they are like a drip of honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Now, ladies, understand, you can flip it right around. You know, this, again, it's a father talking to his son, so it's all in that context. But as we know, men are just as evil in this area, if not worse, okay? But the point is, it begins with a conversation, right? So you got to ask God to control your conversation. You don't need to be going deep into any conversation with anybody about their sex life, okay? I don't go there. People try to talk to me about this stuff. You know, I listen. I say, listen and deflect, okay? I don't need to be hearing all that stuff, you know? You know, the Bible says you don't even need to be talking about things done in secret, okay? It's okay to hit the surface. I got this problem or whatever. But you don't need to be telling all the nitty-ditty details of your sex life, okay? You don't need to be part of the gesturing and the joking and all the stuff that can go on in this world, okay? It begins with a conversation. You need to ask God to help you control that. Number two, mind control. Mind control. Sexual sin always begins in the mind. It's the biggest sex organ you got, your mind, okay? It begins with the mind. That's where Satan attacks us, with the mind. And notice Joseph here. He kept his thoughts together, right? Drop down to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First of all, Joseph thought about this. Joseph thought about his relationship with God. He thought about his relationship with God, didn't he? He says in verse 9, part B, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Notice how he describes it. He didn't say, well, I'm an addict or whatever. He says, you know what? This is wickedness. And he puts an adjective in front of that, great wickedness, and he uses the word sin. This is sin. Remember, he knew God had a plan. The plan is a husband and a wife and a male and a female. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And he knew this was not, yes, there was a male and a female, but it wasn't a husband and a wife. And he knew to do this would be a sin against God. He understood that. He had his mind on the Lord. Number two, which I think is also very important, and that is Joseph thought about his relationship with Potiphar. He says, listen, your husband put me in charge of this place, and I have access and control over everything here except one thing. It's you, okay? It's you. You're not my wife. You're his wife. And one verse that helps me is Exodus 20:17. It's part of the Ten Commandments. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You see, guys, every time you look at a woman, it's either somebody's wife or it's somebody's daughter. It's either somebody's wife or it's somebody's daughter. And you need to remember that, okay? And this verse helps me personally a lot, guys. I'll just give you a clue on that one, okay? This is a verse that I think about, okay? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, okay? You should not covet your neighbor's wife. You got to control your mind. And you got to ask God to help you with that, okay? And then on the back of our notes, the third area of God's power is touch control. touch control. Again, this story, I'm just so thankful for this story that God, I mean, it gets hotter and hotter, okay, and more steamy, okay? She doesn't back up. She keeps going, okay? And now she touches him, okay? Before it was just verbal. It was an invite. Let's have sex. But she doesn't stop there. You know, even after this conversation, you know, it's a sin against God. You know, you're not my wife. You're somebody else's wife. No, she caught him by his garment. She grabbed him. He said, lie with me. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Okay. He got out of there. Okay. Touch control. He didn't say, oh, well, let's just hug each other. Okay. Whatever. Or, no. He took off. Because doesn't it begin that way? In the office, just sliding that paper across, maybe. Maybe in church, is that hug, a little hug or whatever, turns you on, okay? Ignites something in you, okay? Begins with that touch, okay? It begins with that touch. And we need to ask God to help us. Once physical contact is made, then it requires more and more to satisfy desires. Therefore, limit physical contact before marriage, okay? Limit physical contact before marriage. So this was Joseph's story. Number one, remember the presence of God. He knew God was with him. Number two, recognize the plan of God. He knew the story included his plan, God's plan, and he wanted to follow it. And then number three, his story included relying on the power of God. Now today as we wrap up, there are two types of people with two different responses here today. There's only two. We can divide the crowd two ways. Okay? The first way is this. If you have maintained your sexual purity, then purpose to keep it. Okay, if you can say, you know what? I followed God's plan. You know, not perfect, but I'm doing well in this area. I got a good story to tell. That's great, okay? But today what you got to do is purpose in your heart that you're not going to defile yourself. And you got to keep under your body and bring it into subjection. You can't get proud. The Bible says a haughty spirit goes before a fall, okay? So it's nothing to be prideful about, nothing to be boastful about. I mean, you got to fear it, okay? I mean, my story is pretty much Joseph's story, okay? But you know what? I am fully capable of committing fornication. I'm fully capable of committing adultery, okay? My heart is desperately wicked, okay? My heart is desperately wicked. Okay, you got to have that attitude. You got to have that attitude. And then, number two, if you've not maintained your sexual purity, then ask for God's forgiveness and live a pure life. And let's be real. Let's be honest. More people fit into this category than the first one, okay? Let's be real about this. So what do you need to do? Number one, you need to ask for God's forgiveness. You can't do anything about the past, but you can get a fresh start today. You can get a clean slate. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confess it to God as sin. Just like Joseph said, it's a sin. And then I love what Jesus did in John chapter 8, verse 11. What did he tell the woman who was in adultery and fornication? Go and sin no more. Make your story a new story starting today. Today. Just say, okay, it's going to stop, okay? And you need to go back and you need to just say, I got to remember God's with me. God sees me looking at that stuff. God knows about that relationship going on. He's fully aware of it. When I'm hopping in bed with that person, Jesus is right there with us, okay? And you got to remember that, okay? Number two, you got to remember God's got a plan. Got to follow his plan, okay? And number three, you got to remember you can't do it without him, okay? You need his power. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for being a great God. Lord, thank you for your word. And just thank you for speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right now I want you to take your Capital Connection card. And I want you to determine a next step that you're going to take, okay? And on the back of the card, there's some different choices there. And there's some different options there. And I want to walk through those with you. Number one, attend each Sunday for the rest of the series as much as possible. And here's the deal. Some of you, you're here today for the first time, or you're a regular here. That's great, okay? But right now, I'd like to encourage you, unless you got to go out of town, you're ill or whatever, you're going to make an extra effort to try to be here every Sunday possible. Will you make that a next step? Okay. Number two, join a small group. Now, our small groups are going to be studying a general study about temptation. Okay? And if you want to get in and connect with some other people and talk about this, they're not going to specifically be talking about the topic. I'm sure it will come up. It's only natural. But it's not like, join a small group. Today we're going to talk about sex. Come back next week, we'll talk about relationships. I mean, some of that will percolate up, and that's cool, okay? But the curriculum we're using is a general study about dealing with temptation in general, okay? And then number three, I want to. Whatever that might be, I want to. Fill in that blank, whatever God's spoken to you about. And I'd like to ask you to make a commitment today. I'd like to ask you to put this in the offering plate. And I promise you, I will pray with you and for you in that area.